2. Next day, Isley drove for hours in sleet and rain before finding anything. It was as if the bad weather had kept all the eligible males indoors. Despite peering so intently through her windscreen that she began to get mesmerized by the motion of the wipers, she could identify nothing on the road except the ghostly taillights of other rain-swept vehicles crawling through the noonday twilight. The only pedestrians, let alone hitchhikers, she had seen all morning were a couple of tubby youths with crew-cut heads and plastic knapsacks, splashing in a gutter near the Invergordon underpass. School kids, late or playing truant. They had turned at her approach and shouted something too heavily accented for her to understand. Their rain-soaked heads looked like a couple of peeled potatoes, each with a little splat of brown sauce on top. Their hands seemed gloved in bright green foil, the wrappers of crisp packets. In her rearview mirror, Isley had watched their waddling bodies recede to coloured blobs finally swallowed up in the grey soup of the rain. Driving past Ornus for the fourth time, she could scarcely believe there was nobody there. It was usually such a good spot, because so many motorists were loath to pick up anybody they suspected might be from Ornus. A grateful hitcher had explained this to Isley not long ago. Ornus was known, he said, as Little Glasgow, and gave the area a bad name. Illegal pharmaceutical substances were freely available, leading to broken windows and females giving birth too young. Isley had never been to Ornus itself, though it was only a mile off the road. She just drove past it on the A9.